Question. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Throughout this season, I've been thinking about, you know, what to share. What are we going to talk about on Good Friday? And you'd say, well, isn't that obvious? And I would say, well, yeah, except there's different things to focus on, I suppose. You could focus on the seven sayings from the cross. Jesus made seven different statements when he was hanging on the cross. Maybe we could do a seven-part sermon or seven-point sermon on that. One of the songs that I was introduced to years ago was called The Message of the Cross. And when I looked up The Message of the Cross to hear this song, and the YouTube videos populated a list of preachers far more famous and accomplished than myself, and most of the sermons were 45 minutes or longer, and I thought, that's too much. I started to think more about the message of the cross, and I started to think about the songs we were singing, the passages that we read and the songs we sing, and one of the songs that Ben chose was The Old Rugged Cross. And another song that he chose was When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I got to tell you, I love that hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And then at a Good Friday service, a preacher ruined it for me by saying, you know, the cross isn't wondrous. Because the word wondrous actually means beautiful. And what's so beautiful about the cross? It was an instrument of torture. Philip Yancey talks about this in one of his books. He says, you know, for us to venerate the cross is tantamount to us, you know, if we were to contemporize that hymn, what would we contemporize it to? Oh, I love. Oh, pardon me, wrong song. Well, let's do that one. Well, I love that old gas chamber where the nearest and best had his lungs burned out for me. Or should we do, when I survey the wondrous cross and I think about the electric chair and the way that they burned that individual to death? Hey? Oh, that old big syringe full of three different chemicals forming a deadly concoction that causes somebody to be paralyzed and semi-neutralized, left unconscious before we paralyze his heart and cause excruciating pain and torture. No, 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 no. Because this is what the cross was. It was an instrument of torture. It was used to execute people. It was designed to kill people. There's nothing beautiful about it. I had a professor ruin the old rugged cross for me because he said, you know that song's idolatry, don't you? If not just flat out blasphemy and heresy. Why? Isn't that a little harsh? Oh, I love the old... We don't love the cross. We love him who died upon the cross. Amen. Yeah. We have to understand sometimes that we get some politic or poetic license. Sometimes we take it too far. Because when we really think about what the cross was, it was terrible. And yet when we think about what happened on the cross, well, now that becomes altogether something different. And we might even be tempted to use words like beautiful, or perhaps more accurately, powerful, humbling, awe-inspiring, gratitude-invoking. But when we actually stop and consider what happened this afternoon, on Calvary, it was graphic. It was terrible. I remember when Mel Gibson's film The Passion came out and people responded to it. They had these visceral responses. Some people were just angry. Oh, that's so far-fetched. There's no way that could happen. There's no way somebody could go through that. Well, if you believe Scripture, that's precisely what happened. Perhaps even worse. And there are children here, and I will not delve into the graphic nature of what transpired on Good Friday, because it's horrifying. Artist shared that she considered Jesus' mother was brought to tears. Nobody loves you like your mama. And she had to watch them do this to her baby. And can you only imagine, as she's watching all this and she's remembering back to this dedication in the temple, and somebody said, you know, a sword is going to pierce your heart. Her heart is being cut to shreds. And they watch all these things transpire. And they wonder. And John, as he writes out this gospel, he slips in simple phrases. And all this happens so that scripture would be fulfilled, that Jesus would die the way that he said he would die. We think back to John chapter 3. We think back to Nicodemus, who gets referred to. You know, the man Nicodemus who just went and talked to him at night. But Jesus said, I have to be lifted up. In the same way that Moses made the bronze snake, put it on post and lifted it up, and people were saved from the plague. So Jesus will be lifted up upon a cross, and all who look up to Jesus, for everyone who looks to Jesus for the salvation of their soul, they will be saved. They will not be saved by their riches. They will not be saved by their kindness or their works. They will not be saved by who they know. They will not be saved by their rigorous adherence to the law. They will be saved only one way, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we receive the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. We looked at the specific passage in our Bible study this week, and I asked the group certain questions. When you compare chapter 19 and verse 16 to chapter 18, verses 28 and 30, what do you notice? And what you notice as you look at the broader perspective is that the Jews couldn't build a sufficient case against Jesus, so they brought him to Pilate. And the scripture says they handed him over. And so Pilate interrogates him, and then Pilate hands them back. He can't build a case against Jesus either. There's no reason to crucify him. But they do. But they do. There is no formal charge established. And yet they execute him anyways. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being in a court of law and having the judge declared no verdict, and yet they take you and put you in prison for 20 years regardless? Wouldn't you sit there and say, whoa, something's wrong? Yet this is what happens. Was there any significance to the fact that Jesus was crucified in the middle of three people? You ever stop and consider that the person on one side was penitent and sought forgiveness, and the person on the other side didn't? Do you ever start to see the picture that Jesus is the hinge between those two people? Jesus is the hinge between whether you go to heaven or you spend eternity in hell. It all comes down to how you respond to Jesus. Isn't that fascinating? When you consider Calvary, when you consider the cross, why was the sign written in three languages? Because this was the highway and the byway. This was an intersection of high traffic. And everyone would come and see the sign, and they would see the charge. And the Jews wanted the charge modified. He claimed to be the king of the Jews. And Pilate said, no, I've written what I've written. You're crucifying him for being your king. And you don't like the fact that he is calling you out on your own hypocrisy, and that's why you're killing him. Ironic that Pilate would be the one to stand up for what's right. We consider the events as they transpire, all of the references and all of the allusions to the Passover meal, because John wants us to understand that Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the sacrifice for our souls. The Lion of Judah is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember what John said, behold the Lamb of God. And John wants you to understand clearly that Jesus is the Paschal Lamb. And as we've talked consistently about who's in charge and who's running the show, whether it's at the arrest or the first trial or the second trial or here at the cross, we see that Jesus chooses the moment when he surrenders his spirit. You know, it has been pointed out that sometimes it could take people 2 or 3 days, sometimes even up to a week, to die on a cross. But Jesus decided when he would surrender his spirit in accordance to what he said, that he had the authority to lay down his life and take it up again. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, it is finished. And so I asked the group, well, what? What is finished? That entire Levitical system of sacrifice finds its culmination and its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. It is incredibly important that we understand that when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, that here he is fulfilling all that was spoken of and all that was established in ancient times and ancient days, that which Israel clung to and held to and practiced is now finding its fulfillment in Christ. The cross, an emblem of suffering and shame, despised by the world, a form of death so heinous that not a Roman soldier could be killed in this fashion. Yet here is Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, humbled to the point that he would carry this cross halfway. But to Calvary he would go, and he would let them nail him to that cross. And he would die upon that cross, shed his blood on that cross. I always think this is a really fascinating point, Janelle. But you know, he died, and they didn't break his legs. They pierced his side with a spear, right? And what came out of him, Janelle? Blood. And what does it hit? What is the first thing the blood hits? The Gentile soldier. The pagan. And then it hits the ground. I find that fascinating. Because if you go all the way back to Genesis 3, the ground is cursed. And yet here the ground receives the blood of Christ. The same ground that received the blood of Abel is now receiving the blood of Christ. The first person to be anointed by the blood of Christ is a Roman centurion. So the cross, scorned, shamed, despised, but somewhere in the passage of history becomes the symbol of the Christian faith. That the cross comes to be that symbol which represents the atoning sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. It comes to represent our hope of eternity in Christ. Why is there no, you know the difference between a crucifix and a cross? The crucifix has Jesus on it, the cross doesn't. Why don't Protestants put Jesus on the cross? Because he's not there. He's not there. He is alive. And that is a truth we will consider in 2 days. That is a truth we will celebrate and sing about in 2 days. But today is the day he died. And in that death, he makes atonement for us. This is why we took so much time as we went through Leviticus to talk about things like atonement and propitiation and expiation and words that have become no longer vogue, no longer in play, no longer in style, words that nobody knows. But isn't it so important that we understand that before we came to Christ, before we came to that cross, we were children of perdition. And it is only by the shed blood of Christ on that cross that we could be reckoned sons and daughters of the King. Do we understand that? So when we speak of the cross and sing of the cross, it's not the cross that we venerate. It's not the cross we love, but him who died upon the cross, upon all that was accomplished on that cross. And when we come to the cross, what we are saying is we are standing before Jesus and we look up. And when we do, we're saved. I originally wanted to talk about the paradox of the cross, and I was researching different things and looking at different things on the internet, and I came across a video that in so many ways explained all of this so much better than I can. But before we show the video, I want to make it crystal clear that it's not the wooden cross that we love and cherish, but what happened at the cross, what happened on the cross, what Jesus accomplished. And when we think about that, what the world intended to accomplish with the cross, and what God intended to accomplish with the cross, are radically different things. Joy, Bill, could we show the folks that video now?
Cross. It was meant to horrify the world. It was meant for humiliation. It was meant to last for days. It was meant for slow asphyxiation. It was meant to prolong torture. It was the Roman soldier's job. It was meant to be used by Caesar, but instead, it was used by God. It was meant to stop a movement, but instead, it became the way. It was meant to act on fear, but instead, it awakened faith. It was meant to be vicious and violent, but instead, it became our peace. It was meant to uproot hope, but instead, it became the seed. It was meant to punish captives, but instead, it unleashed freedom. It was meant to build up Rome, but instead, it built God's kingdom. It was meant to discourage rebels. It was meant to stop insurrection. It was meant to put down Jesus, but instead, it set up his resurrection. It was meant to jeer and mock him, but instead, it was his glory. It was meant to erase a chapter, but instead, it became the story. It was meant to hold up convicts, but instead, it raised up a king. It was meant to shut our mouth, but instead, it's why we sing. It was meant to be a judgment, but instead, it became our mercy. It's why the song of heaven is the Lamb. The Lamb is worthy. It was meant to kill an enemy, crush dissenters and diversion, but instead it became the banner of God's love for every person. It was meant to be appalling, nailing hands and feet to wood. It was meant to be used for evil, but instead it was used for good. It was meant to be a symbol of God's assassination. But instead, it became the symbol of Jesus' invitation. Come to the cross. Instead of sin and stain, you are meant to be made clean. Instead of being forgotten, you are meant to know your sin. Instead of being ashamed, you can leave behind your guilt. Instead of feeling empty, you were meant to be fulfilled. Instead of being broken, you are meant to be made whole. Here, Calvary is calling. It beckons you. Behold, come to the cross. Instead of being an accident, you have a purpose and a plan. Instead of being abandoned, you were chosen by his hand. For all who've said, I can't, God has said, I can. No matter what you've done, the invitation stands. Come to the cross. Instead of being doubtful, you are meant to know your Father. You are meant to be His son, and you are meant to be His daughter. You were cherished from the start. You are always in the picture. Instead of being a victim, you are meant to be a victor. The result of Jesus' blood, salvation has arrived. Instead of being dead, you are meant to be alive. The cross. It was meant to signal death, but instead, it's a sign of living. It was meant to be the end, but instead, it's our beginning.